overflowing with love. I am overflowing with happiness. I am filled with the power to make a change, to create a brand new life.
Welcome to the podcast of the Sunday Celebration Service for the Center of Spiritual Living in Huntsville, Alabama. We hope you feel the grace, the beauty, and the love of our community as you hear the message of the week.
So today is December 16th, and it was December 16th, 1975, that I flew back to the United States from South America, and John Stoddart, the man who I had hated more than anyone on the whole planet, because he broke up my relationship in college in 1971, he flew all the way from San Francisco, and we met in New York City 43 years ago today, and the wonder of wonders is that we have been together ever since. I know. And the irony is, if the one person that you could hate with your whole heart and soul and mind could be the one that you end up living with, who is the perfect one for you, you have to realize, or at least I do, that there was an intelligence greater than mine. Because I literally told the universe, anybody but him. What do I know? I also said anywhere but Alabama, and I've been here for 30 years. So I realize, yeah, be careful what you ask for, like my friend Rocky says, because you might just get it. Yeah, so I'm speaking about wonder today, to live in a place that isn't logical. You know, we all want certainty. This is Emerson. He says, but only to the degree that we are uncertain is there any hope for us. So what if we could trade in our control mechanisms, our strategizing, our plan for the future that we think we have all mapped out, and just throw that out and trust that divine mind will assist us in assuming the consciousness that can literally embrace our enemy and find right there in the enemy was the great love that we've been looking for all along. So I'm kind of in awe of life and what life will bring us on this journey if we get out of the way long enough and we surrender in this chaotic world and we receive the stuff that life would have us receive. In this beautiful video that we saw on Wednesday night, Eben Alexander, I'm getting good at that now, said when he came back from having died, he said all the stuff in life that has been really the uncomfortable stuff has been the fuel for your journey, has been the very thing that your soul required in order for it to evolve and grow. So it's not the easy, warm fuzzies that are really helping us evolve and grow. It's those deaths, it's those transitions, it's those things falling apart. It's literally falling down and knowing that it was in falling down that we needed the strength to get up and move forward in a new direction that was required all along. So it's all counterintuitive. We're not here to just have an easy ride. We're here to really step on the horse and let the horse take us where it will. My friend Maureen Hoyt has a little phrase, seven words that will change your life. Everybody leans forward because they want to know what those seven words are. And they are, when the horse is dead, get off. And so many of us ride that dead horse, whether it's a job that's lifeless or a marriage that's lifeless or a religion that's lifeless, you name it, until we decide, hey, there's more to life than riding on a dead horse. Now, I know that that's just a metaphor. Again, Maria, we don't talk the letter of the law, we talk the spirit of the law. So everything is pointing to something bigger. So what if life had been trying to move us all along, but it does require that we shift the way we see things? So if you want to go back to the Bible, because it had all the messages in there, but then again, we took it literally and we didn't understand. And one of the great, great lovers of all time was Jesus himself. And he said to be like a child if you would enter that state of consciousness, which he called heavenly, which is the word in Aramaic was Malkutha, which means the direct transmission from source. So if you want to be in that direct transmission from source, he said to be like a little child. Now, what does a child have that we don't have? They have innocence. They have curiosity. They're fascinated. You know, my earliest memory was sitting in a forest talking to flowers. And I found that I would fall into flowers. Then the other things that I would have in communion with were butterflies. I would literally draw butterflies. I was estranged, and I would talk to fairies. And so they always knew that I was an odd little boy. And so they tried to help me grow out of my innocence, my naivete. And now as I'm getting older, I'm finding I'm going back to flowers and butterflies and talking to trees and rocks and holding them and finding that they never stop talking. I just stop listening. So what if it's about finding a new way to see life? Jeff Foster, I love his poetry from the soul. And at the very, very end of his little book called The Way of Rest, he said something that I think is really relevant for us as we're coming to the end of a year. He says that there are no endings, that in truth everything is really a beginning. And so he puts it this way. He says, there's nothing more glorious than the beginning of a spiritual path, let's say. Your heart is soaring with possibilities. Your imagination is vivid. And you take that first baby step into the unknown, trembling but alive, and you're walking on this new adventure. It was never about getting to the end, was it? But it was about reaching a finish line. It was always about falling in love with the new beginnings. We're starting a new year. I'm more excited after 30 years than I've ever been. I'm more in love after 43 years than I was when I arrived 43 years ago in New York City. I think I still had doubts back then. Anyway, he said, life is always a beginning. Each step, each breath, each brand new day, each invitation to surrender, each sunset, each dawn, each wave of joy or sorrow, each chance to trust. Each one is there for us to trust in life. You know, my prayer partner is going through a lot of transitions right now, and as I hear him have that narrative of fear and concern about things ending and that panic that we hit, I instantly go to, this is an opportunity to shift the way you see this. This may feel like the uncertain place where everything's falling away, but what if it's supposed to fall away so that this new sense of self can emerge? And that's when we help one another, when we remind each other of that truth. So he goes on to say, the ocean's waves do not end. They only fall back into the ocean. Their source, emerging again, falling, playing like children of infinity, held in unspeakable love. From this perspective of source, nothing has happened at all except that we're in this dance. Endings are truly beginnings, and beginnings are endings. And here, all occurring in the vastness of presence, which is what you and I are. So we want to cling to the temporal, that which comes and goes, but there's something that doesn't come and go that's always there. You know, I love to kind of blow people's minds, and Meister Eckhart was asked about the spiritual journey, and he said, there is no spiritual journey. There is no spiritual path. He said, but if there were, he said it would be a quarter of an inch long and a million miles deep. And so again, there's a metaphor. So think of the ocean. He says the ocean never stopped being in the wave, did it? So what if we stop seeing ourselves as the individual waves here, with our own personalities, our own belief systems, our own desires and wants and preferences, and we actually realize that we are that same ocean, that same mind. You don't have to die to realize we're using the same life, the same mind, and it works through our imagination. Come with me, and you'll see. We have a poster in the men's bathroom. The women never get to see it unless, of course, you take the wrong turn and you end up in there. But it's Albert Einstein, and he said, I don't want to know what man thinks. I want to know what God thinks. So what if the God in you is always speaking, but it speaks a language that isn't necessarily logical? It doesn't come from the belief system. It comes from that beautiful field of uncertainty that is always fresh and alive and creative. And wonders, and lives in wonder and awe, and that can look at a sunrise or can look at an old shell and see the patterns. You know, Jane Stearns is here because her grandson saw the cornucopia out here on the sign out here. And he was drawn to the symbol of that spiral, which is revealed in nature, which is endings and beginnings, the spiral dance of life, going round and round. So he goes on to say, at the intersection we meet, I don't know you, you don't know me, but we're brought together by destiny, by chance, and we dance in our ocean's depths. Can you get that metaphor? We dance in the ocean's depths. And if you run out of oxygen, I will breathe for you, because we're sharing the same breath. Now, he plays with these ideas. And then after he talks about there's no endings, there are only beginnings, he talks about taking the new path. And this is the wonder of wonders of stepping into not knowing. For all of you who want to know, he's saying at this stage, the beginning is about stepping into not knowing. You do not know exactly where you are going, and you cannot go back to the place from which you came. I love that. I met this lady in Colorado, and she said, I feel like I'm in purgatory. I know I can't go back to where I'm from, because that was the dead horse that I was riding. I have no clue where I'm going, so I'm in that middle ground of, I don't know what's next. That's the place to be. He said, it is perfectly natural to feel afraid, and fear only needs to be felt anyway. I love what Mark said. He said, I'm allowing myself to feel now. If there's grief, I'm going to feel the grief. If there's fear, I'm going to feel the fear. I'm not going to shame the fear or shame the grief or shame the confusion. It's all there for us. So he said, in every now, with a big N, a billion possible futures are born and die. In your pure imagination, a billion possibilities exist in every now moment. Futures are born and die. A billion possible lives are lived to completion or not, and you walk here at the origin. So stay close to life at the place where it happens and look back only to celebrate your innocence. You know, we were talking earlier about past lives and reincarnation, and Susan said, I think all the lives exist simultaneously in the eternal now moment. Wow, there's a wonder of wonders, isn't it? You mean there is no time? That's the great illusion? And that everything exists now? And that something in us is awakening to the possibility? Can we imagine what that might look like? To wonder what God would be like if she awoke within us, could we be fiercely in love with her or him, the divinity of our being? Who doesn't need to know? Your ego wants to know. It wants to have the plan. But there's something in you that says, I want to surrender to the ocean of life wherever it might take me. Even if it might take me all the way back from South America to meet the one man that I hated on this planet, because that's the journey that God had intended for me. You can expect to feel groundless sometimes, for everything will be falling into uncertainty as you walk. It's okay to be groundless. Do not resist the urge to know, but do not seek your sanctuary there either. For there is actual safety in falling, and you can only fall more deeply into yourself. So I told you we were crazy here, Maria. It's okay to fall. It's not always about knowing where you're going. Because when you fall, you're falling into yourself. And then you understand the paradox. I have to lose myself to find myself. Oh, wonder of wonders. I can't lose him. All my identity is based on what I've created. You mean he's the illusion that I'm living in? Yeah. He's the mask that I've been wearing? Yeah. And when you lose him, who do you lose? You lose nothing. And then you begin to court this beautiful paradox of truth, because truth reveals itself in paradox. Nisargadatta said something quite beautiful. He said, when I know I'm nothing, wisdom awakens within me. And when I know I'm everything, then love awakens. Huh. So I'm nothing and I'm everything? Yes. I'm the ocean and the wave? Yes. I'm the Alpha and the Omega? Yes. I'm spirit and I'm human? Yes. I'm a human being having a spiritual experience? I'm a spiritual being having a human experience? Yes. I'm divinely human and humanly divine? Yes. Come with me. You see that damn song. Some may call this journey a risk, but the only true risk is to live our lives in complacency. Emerson says, consistency and conformity are the hobgoblin of little minds and the divine of statesmen. He says, to imitate is suicide and to envy is ignorance. We're here to be the unique expression of what we are. So the only true pain is the unwillingness to feel the pain. You will lose the old securities, but you will soon discover that they were never securities at all. Boy, is this stuff is just turning the tables in the temple here, folks, here. Tired of the lies, nauseated by the easy answers that everyone wants to give you, you will watch in astonishment as the old path crumbles and a brilliant new path forges itself within you with every step. Emerson says the hero's journey is about entering the forest at the darkest place where no path has been created, and you get to make your own. Now, there's no certainty there, there's no roadmap, but there's the path, the pathless path that you and I get to take and trust that we will be guided every step of the way. That's the promise in the paradox of living. So he says, your only guide now is your heart and the breaths and the sound of your own life, which is closer to you now than ever, and a wisdom that's formed in your glorious doubt. Wow. To live in doubt, to live in wonder, to live in uncertainty, to live in I don't know, to live in the mystery, to live in the magic of your imagination. When people say you have too vivid of an imagination for a young man, you need to get head on your shoulders and get practical and have a plan for your life. Yeah, what good did that ever do? Your heart may be pounding, it says. Your legs may be trembling, and you may feel more insecure than ever. But you are alive, my love, he says. You are alive. So Shay's got his arms crossed. Every time someone comes to me and they're crying and they say everything's falling apart, I always say congratulations. And then they think I'm kind of crazy. But what if this is the paradox, that life is here giving us these beautiful gifts, these opportunities, so that we can then experience the wonder of what we really are. The wonder of what we really are. So let's just stop and enter into that space that we are. And let your attention move from your head into your beautiful, spacious heart. Remember, we come with one mind. That's the mind of the universe. And that mind would say, I am existence itself. And so allowing the imagination to run wild within you without your censor of a logical judge in your mind, we can imagine what existence would say in our hearts. A heart that keeps opening, like that thousand-petaled lotus they speak about in Buddhist tradition. So imagine that heart space within you opening in this room. And imagine that that love is flowing effortlessly and easily, not only from you, but to you, because there is no you that is separate from other. There's only one here. And so we're in a field of divine presence, a field of divine love, a field of pure imagination that we can sing about, that we can discover like Einstein did and so many, not through thought, but when the mind became still, then the imagination revealed the mysteries of quantum physics, of our connectedness to everything. And so we rest as that space, as that invisible space in which form arises, and yet we're not bound by an attachment to form. We see that form arises just like the waves arrive on the ocean, but ultimately they yield and surrender back into the deep. And so we meet in the deep, not as my deep or your deep, as the deep, the depth of the one life. Always silent, out of which all sound arises. And we are that silence. And we begin to listen with our heart, realizing that silence is the language of God, And as we become still, as the Bible reminds us, we can know that we are God, that we are that field of pure, unconditional love. And we are directly experiencing it in this holy instant. When God spoke to Moses metaphorically through a bush, the voice said, "Take off your shoes, right where you stand is holy ground." And so metaphorically, we take off the ego. We take off the mindset, the belief systems. And we stand in this holy instant, in the truth of our being, in the presence of being. Tatwam Asi, thou art that. And we allow that presence to breathe us, to remind us that we have arrived in this holy instant, and we are always and will be throughout eternity home in the presence of the one life, the one mind, which is using us for its revelation here on earth. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. The heaven is within, and the earth will be a reflection of the consciousness that we discover in the wonder of our own being. So take a deep breath. Give a sigh for the divine. Ah, you have arrived. You are home. In the one that knows no other.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information, please visit www.cslhuntsville.org.